What about the Bible? Yes, Jamie. I texted her earlier and I said, "Are you there? I haven't heard from you." This was before, during Sunday school. And so, yes. Really? Wow. Yeah. Yes. Amen. It can't be an accident, I don't think. So pray for them. If you think of it, pray for them that the Spirit of God will work in their hearts and lives. Julio and Nena. Father, we just pray for that family. We pray that the Spirit of God will work in their lives. We ask, Father, that if you can use us as a church, if you can use Sonny, anyone who is kind of connecting up with them, on the property here, we just ask that you would just do a great work of grace in their hearts and lives, and meet their needs, and use us if you can. And we commit them to you, Julio to you, and Anna to you, and their family and their kids. And Lord, I'm thankful that Sharon's okay. I'm pleasantly happy on the inside, and so I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Thanks for texting while I was praying, even. You know, I was starting to worry a little bit. Bless her pea-picking heart. Oh, what about the Bible? Do you love it? We touched on that. Can you trust it? And our question for today is, can it change your life? What do you say? Anybody here where it's done that to them? I'm sure we all can raise our hand. How many needed to change you some more? This is a advertisement that says, position wanted. I would like a job as a tutor, a teacher, and advisor to your family. I will never take a vacation. I will never be out of humor. I don't drink or smoke. I won't borrow your clothes or raid your refrigerator. I will be up in the morning as early as anyone in the household and will stay up as late as anyone wishes. I will help solve any problems your children might have. I will give you the satisfaction of knowing that no question your children ask will go unanswered. For that matter, I will answer any of your own questions on subjects that range from how we got here to where are we headed. I will help settle bets and differences of opinion. I will give you information that will help you with your job, your family, and all of your other interests. In short, I will give you the knowledge that will ensure the continued success of your family and your life. I'm your Bible. Do I get the job? What about the Bible? Do you love it? Can you trust it? Last Sunday we learned that we can trust the Bible because it is unique, reliable, and most important, is inspired. It's inspired of God. It's God-breathed. It's a God-breathed book. And because the Bible is inspired of God, that means it is useful. And it can change your life. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that. It is useful and it can change your life. D.L. Moody said this, quote, "The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives." That's the purpose of the Word of God, of the Scriptures, of the Bible. I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 19. Now, this is a great, great chapter, but I'm only going to read verses 7 to 11. And it says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." In these five simple verses, God is telling us what He thinks about this book. And He's also indicating to us how important this book is and should be to you and me. God gives us six titles, six characteristics of the Bible, and then in this passage we find eight benefits. We're going to look at those benefits this morning, look at some of them. But I want to give you all eight of them, and I have it there on the screen for you. The Bible gives life, freedom, and refreshment. Number two, the Bible gives wisdom. Number three, the Bible gives joy, a rejoicing of our heart. The Bible gives clarity, the end of verse 8. Number five, the Bible gives reverence. Number six, the Bible gives warning. And number seven, the Bible gives great reward. The end of verse 11. Eight amazing and wonderful benefits. So to neglect this book is to forfeit these eight things. And how many wouldn't want life and freedom and to be refreshed? And how many wouldn't want clarity of mind and life? How many wouldn't want to have wisdom, to know how to live life to the fullest? Why wouldn't we want those things? Why wouldn't we want to be warned? Why wouldn't we want reward? All of those things we find here. And so we're going to look at some of those this morning. Statement number one. The Bible gives life, verse 7, the first part. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Bible here is called the law or the Torah of God. The word means instruction or teaching. So the teaching of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, is what he's saying here. So this says that the Bible is God's written revelation given to you and me to teach us, to instruct us. So it is God's instruction manual that we're to look into, that we're to follow, that we're to study. And in this part of this verse here, it says that this teaching, this instruction manual is, it said, is perfect. The Hebrew word for perfect there says it's complete. The Bible is complete. There's absolutely nothing that's left out. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. It is complete. It is perfect in every way. Ray Stedman said this, quote, "There is no part of your life, no problem you will ever face in your life, no question with which you will ever be troubled with that the Word of God does not speak to." And I'd like to put it this way. Whatever it is that you need to know, it can be found in this book. And if you cannot find it in this book, that means you don't need to know it. Because everything we need to know is answered here. Whatever questions we might have that you can't find there, you don't need to know the answer anyhow. Because if we needed to know it, then God would have given it to us. So the Bible, the teaching, the instruction is perfect, or it's complete. And the Bible is so complete that it is able to convert the soul. The Hebrew word translated convert there simply means literally to turn back. And that Hebrew word can be translated in multiple ways, in different ways. So if you go into some of the translations, you might see that it's stated in different ways. Let me give them to you. It can be translated as convert. It can be translated as restore or refresh or to transform or to change. God's Word is so powerfully complete that it can accomplish all of those things. And so that's why in point one that I said the Bible gives life, freedom, and refreshment. Because it includes all of those things that the Hebrew word means there. Sometimes salvation is referred to as being converted. Right? You've heard that. You've read that in the New Testament. When I came to faith in Christ, I was converted. And conversion is the process of turning away from sin and coming back to God. It's returning back to Him. Back to the one who created me and created you in the first place. The Word of God is the key to life, eternal life. It says this in Deuteronomy 32, 46 to 47. It says, take to heart all the words of warning I have given you today. Pass them on as a commandment to your children, so that they will obey every word of these instructions. Verse 47. These instructions are not empty words. Now notice what he says next. Underline it. They are your life. They are life. 1 Peter 1:23. It says this, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And then notice what he says next, through the living and enduring Word of God. It's the Word of God that is a source of life. And not just spiritual life, but is also the source for physical life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. It is that which sustains us. In every way, in totality. It says this in Psalm 119, verse 45. It says, I shall walk in freedom. The second thing the Word of God does, for I sought thy precepts. So I sought the Bible. I sought the Word of God. I shall walk in freedom. The Bible is divine truth that not only gives life, eternal life, but it is also that which frees us from the power and bondage of being deceived. Someone said this, quote, our adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion and has an insatiable appetite to destroy you, and his primary weapon is deception. His primary weapon is lies. And so Jesus said this, it is truth that will set you free. Free from what? The lies and deception of the evil one. And so the Bible is life, eternal life. The Bible is also key to freedom. Freedom for the first time to walk with God and to serve Him and love Him. The Bible also is the key to refreshment. It is a source of life, freedom, and the revival of the soul. Some translate this as to revive the soul, or to refresh the soul. There are times when we feel down, and we need to be refreshed. We need to be uplifted. We need to be encouraged. Sometimes we feel like the fire in our soul is going out. Ever been there? Felt that way? The Bible here says that the law of the Lord is given to refresh our soul. to uplift our heart. I like what John Piper said regarding this. He said, quote, "If every day with Jesus really is sweeter than the day before, if that's true, we wouldn't need to be revived. Even though he says there are days when we feel that every cinder in our soul is cold, yet if we crawl to the Word of God," and sometimes that's all we can do, "and cry out to Him, let us have ears to hear. The cold ashes will be lifted, and the tiny spark of life will be fanned, because the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving, refreshing, restoring, and also converting the soul." That Hebrew word means all of those things. So it can do all those things for you if you go to it, if you don't neglect it. But isn't it true that sometime when we are in the state of needing to be revived, we are down, discouraged, often the last place we go is to God. Isn't it true? When the first place we should go is to be in the fellowship with believers and be in the Word of God, so that God can refresh us. This is the story of a former prostitute, told by a fellow by the name of Arthur Blissett. He said this: "On a night when business is lagging, I find Linda in a bikini coiled in a lounge chair at Al's place. Things are going great, she tells me. No hang-ups at all. I said, well, you're lying, and you know you're lying. You're not happy. You're miserable. If you really were happy, you won't have to take all the dope that you're taking to get rid of the guilt. Arthur Blissett, I can handle anybody except you," she says. "You're right, Arthur, I am miserable. Today I tried to jump out of Al's car on the freeway, but he grabbed my arm and held me back." Arthur said, "I shared Christ with Linda for more than an hour, and it took. It is one of the most unexpected turnabouts I have ever encountered," he says. "Linda gets down on her knees with me and prays, her tears washing her mascara in streaks down her face. After we prayed, she looks up and her eyes sparkle now. She's converted. She's refreshed. She cried out and said, 'I'm saved. Jesus has found me, and I'm going to go back to my baby.' Still on our knees, we hear the buzzer sound. So I get up and go to the door. 'Are you open for business?' says the customer, a 50-ish man with a crew cut and horn-rimmed glasses, asks. 'Yes, sir,' I said, 'come on in.' When he enters, I gave him one of my big question gospel tracts. He brings it close to his face and seems disturbed as he reads it. Then he looks at Linda, still on her knees. He starts backing off towards the door. 'I must be in the wrong place,' he said, and left." See, Linda is now converted. Linda is now set free and refreshed spiritually, because Arthur shared the gospel contained in this book with her. See, the law of the Lord is life. The teaching, the message that's here is life. And it was life for Linda, and it can be life for you and those that you know. What about you this morning? Are you still dead in your trespasses and sins? Or have you been given the free gift of life that we find in this book? See, the Bible is life. That's the first statement we need to understand. Sounds pretty important, huh, this book? Statement number two, the Bible gives wisdom. Verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. How many here think they're described here as simple-minded? Are you simple-minded? Or do you find that you are full of wisdom? Here we see the Bible is God's personal testimony. God is telling His own story. And God is saying what He can do for you if you turn to Him. It's His message. Remember, every time you read the Bible, you got to know and remember that when you do that, you're hearing God speak. It's just not a book. It is God speaking to you when you read those verses. Never forget that. Never approach the Word of God without saying, God, speak. You speak to me. Because this is You speaking. See, the testimony, the personal testimony of the Lord, it says here, is sure. The word sure means it's unchanging, it's unwavering. You can count on it. It is sure. And you can trust it when you read it. Our testimony, our words, not so much. I don't know if any of us can claim that our testimony, that our words, that the things we say are sure, like Jesus says. Because mine are not always sure. Sometimes we don't remember right. Sometimes what we say is not so sure as we think it is or it should be. Isn't that true for each one of us? But aren't you glad God's Word is sure? It's His Word. His testimony is sure. He remembers everything right. He's not forgetful like we are or can get our past things mixed up. God's Word is unchanging. And then it goes on. It says that the testimony of the Lord that is sure, unwavering. Notice what it says next. Making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. There's another benefit. Benefit number two. The first one is life and freedom and refreshment. The second one here is wisdom. Making wise the simple. What's that talking about? The Hebrew word that's used there is referring to a simple-minded person. Now, don't confuse this. A simple-minded person does not mean that he has a low IQ. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that he's not very smart. That's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here simply means that they lack discernment. You're simple-minded because you lack discernment in life. They do not know how to discriminate between things that are good and things that are bad. They have trouble discriminating between good and best sometimes. That's what it means to be simple-minded. This particular Hebrew word that's used here can be described as having a mind that's an open door. Everything in, everything out. It's just an open door. They don't have the ability to discriminate between what comes in and what goes out. That's a simple-minded kind of a person. They lack the ability to keep bad things out and good things in. Sometimes it's the good things out and the bad things in. There's this lack of discrimination here. You could call them naive and inexperienced. They're naive and inexperienced about so many things, the simple-minded person is. You could call this naive, inexperienced person teenager, because they are naive, simple-minded. It's not a put-down. Don't see that word as a put-down. It's just a lack of knowledge and understanding and growth and experience, all of that connected here. Because, and also let me say this, this is not an age-equivalent word. You can have a person who's in their 20s or in their 30s or in their 40s, and they still act simple-minded. They should know better. They should do different. But they don't. They're still in that simple-minded category in life. So because of this simple-minded, naive, inexperienced place, they become very vulnerable in their life. A young teen who is naive, who is inexperienced, who hasn't lived long enough, who hasn't grown far enough in their knowledge or their emotional state or whatever, they become vulnerable to sexual predators. Sexual predators can be successful as they target them. So this simple-minded problem is not just a teen problem. Anybody at any age can fall into this category. The problem with it is it makes us vulnerable. And we all are in one degree or another simple-minded in certain areas. You hear it. You'll hear of some elderly people who are taken advantage of financially by some deceptive, you know, predator on the phone or whatever. And so they stumble and fall and they do something they should not do. And you think, why'd they do that? Why did they give that information over the phone? Don't they know better? See, we all fall into this simple-minded category in one way or another, to one degree or another, because we would have to be full of all wisdom. Right? And so I see this wisdom thing as a growing thing. And at any point, I can become simple-minded. At any point, I could become vulnerable. Someone could come into your life and take advantage of me in some way, morally or sexually or financially or whatever, because to one degree or another, we are there. And then also I realize that as you get up in age, some of that vulnerability could be because of the deterioration that takes place here, right? We all know that. It can happen. It does happen to some people, making them more vulnerable. And so sometimes maybe that simple-mindedness and decisions that are made or not made are not their fault, you might say. So I hope you're following me here on trying to understand this word that we're looking at here. And I'm not just putting down teenagers, because I'm seeing adults, you know, act in simple-minded ways too. And I've acted in simple-minded ways. We're taken. A young gal in my younger years came knocking at our door selling magazines. Of course, she decked her face out and had the mini skirt on and came to the house, and I was home alone. Walked in and I bought all of her magazines. What was I being? Simple-minded, naive. You should have seen what happened when my wife got home. And I found out, she found out that I... And I also gave some money down towards those magazines. And I was probably in my 30s at the time. Did we ever see the magazines? Of course we didn't. Because I fell into this. Here. That's this word. David Wortson said this. He said, quote, "The young have not lived long enough to acquire the knowledge and discipline necessary to be experts in the art of living. The crucial issue when it comes to young people and teens and kids, the crucial issue is whether they will remain naive. Thus," let me add this to his statement, "thus continuing to make them vulnerable." He said the crucial issue is whether they will remain naive or will they be willing to receive instruction, choosing to listen to God, choosing to listen to their teachers, choosing to listen to their parents. Will they choose to listen so that they can gain wisdom when it comes to life? A novice, he calls them, they're a novice. A novice who is a know-it-all and rejects help. And why do we do that? Why are we know-it-alls and rejecting help or instruction or teaching? It's pride. That's all that it is. The bottom of a know-it-all kind of person who is not teachable, who does not listen. So they don't listen to their teacher, they don't listen to God, they don't listen to this book. It's all because of pride. They'll end up broken. That's the end result. Broken, taken advantage of, deceived. They're going to end up where they don't want to be. Because of being simple-minded. Of which we all are to one degree or another in certain areas of our lives. Right? So it's the Word of God found in the Bible that will make one wise, make wise the simple-minded. It is this book that helps me in life not to be vulnerable, not to be taken advantage of, not to be deceived by the enemy. It is this book that gives wisdom. Tony Evans says this, "When we talk about wisdom, we refer to more than just knowledge. Wisdom is more than having information." Let me stop there. You need the information, though, but it's more than that. Then he goes and he says, "All of us know people who are well-educated, but just plain dumb when it comes to the things of life, the day-to-day living. They have a lot of book sense, but no common sense." Common sense is a reflection, is part of this whole wisdom thing that we're talking about. They have a lot of book sense, but no common sense. So simply accumulating data is not having wisdom. Wisdom has to do with the use of the information we have rather than just its possession of the information we have. See, wisdom, unquote, that's what he said, wisdom is the ability to make right decisions, to be able to discern between what is good and what is not so good. It's the ability even to discern between what is good and best. Not only do we need to have a desire to want to discern between wrong, right and wrong, but between good and best. Isn't that true? Someone said this, quote, "It's the ability to make right choices at the right moment in life." The wisdom that we're talking about here is the ability to conduct ourselves in a godly manner, in a way that pleases God and is acceptable to Him. That's this divine wisdom that we're talking about here. I like what David Wortson said. He said, "Wisdom is the ability to sail safely through the difficult seas of life." And don't we need that? How many times have we sunk ourselves on the sea of life because of being simple-minded, being naive, causing us to be vulnerable? I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want some chick coming in and selling me her magazines and taking me, that way. But we're all vulnerable. We're all simple-minded to one degree or another. Wisdom, the ability to make right choices. The ability to not be naive, to not be a novice, to not be a beginner. Isn't it horrible to be 40 or 50 or 60 years old and you're still a beginner in life? See, age is no guarantee here in what God is talking about. God, through His Word, is the source of true wisdom. Psalm 119, verse 98 says this. It says, "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies." Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. And Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom." Just a little word to parents here. It's important that you give your children bread to eat, physically speaking, but it's also just as important that you give them spiritual bread to eat. At least making that available. You know, you can't make them eat it, but you can make it available. You can have them there. Why? So then they won't stay being simple-minded. Stay being naive when they face life. So many leave home and go to college, to the college campus. And then you wonder why, because you're sending someone who is simple-minded to a place that's very dangerous and they can be deceived and led astray. It's part of our job as parents to try to teach them, do our best, the best that we can, so that they're not simple-minded. Well, that was statement number three. It's through the Bible that we gain wisdom in life. One last one, statement number three. Or that was statement number two. This is three. The Bible gives joy. It says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." Psalm 119:111 says, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." This says that the divine precepts or principles of the Bible are right. They point to a right path, is what he's saying here. A path we should follow, and if they point to a right path and we follow that path, then he says this, we will experience joy in our heart. Proverbs 14:12 says there is a way or a path that seems right to man, but the end is not joy. The end is death, destruction, disappointment, failure. But the path that God's Word gives us points us to a heart of joy. Notice what it does not say. It does not say that life will always be happy or be easy. It's talking about an internal joy that cannot be touched by circumstances. Remember the prophet Jeremiah? He chose to follow God and do what God wanted him to do. And so when he preached, think of preaching all the time, but nobody listened. Nobody listened. All they did was cast him in prison. They threw him in this dark, damp pit. And the end of it all, Jeremiah said this in chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found. I did eat them. And the word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, even as he languished in this pit, damp, dark pit. He still had the joy in here. Where do you go to find joy and peace and satisfaction? Do you need some supernatural experience of some sort? Well, it's not what the Scripture says. John MacArthur said this, if you are depressed, if you are anxious, if you are fearful, if you are doubting, if you are joyless, if you are unhappy, if you are miserable, then the answer to your problem is to get back in the path and walk in obedience to the revealed Word of God, and the benefit will be that your heart will once again rejoice. All your true pleasure and all your true delight and all your true joy comes from following the Word of God. We come back to Him as we enter into Scripture again. Jesus said it like this, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What are the personal benefits of being in God's Word on a regular basis? Life, freedom, restoration, refreshment, wisdom, and joy. That's the benefits. Neglecting it, you forfeit all of those things. Are those the things you and I want? We'd be insane, I think, if we said, no, I don't want that. We go to this book. And the one that wrote this book to him. And that's where we find it. Father, the benefits that come from you because we choose to read and study and meditate in the words of this book are amazing. And Father, we want to thank you that as we choose to do that by faith, that we will experience and know these benefits. We will experience the abundant life. We will experience what it means to walk free. We will experience the wisdom that we need when we wake up in the morning and face the day. We will experience unbelievable joy. Father, may we love this book as you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.